Well, as you know, it's Father's Day, and I do want to mention, as I mentioned with Mother's Day once before, when I did announcements, what have you, is that the day, the holiday, if you will, Father's Day can stir up all types of emotions, all types of thoughts. And I'm sure just watching that video clip caused it. Or when you hear people saying Happy Father's Day to one another, there's a lot of special moments. There's a lot of emotions that are special and unique for you. But, well, to begin with, you can have these emotions or thoughts of happiness depending on your father, depending on you as a father. Happiness, and you can have wonderful memories, fond memories of your father, joyous times that you've had, and ultimately a sense of security of what your father provided, whether he's alive or not. And then on the other hand, on the other side of the same coin, Father's Day could stir up a lot of sadness. It could even stir up anger. It could stir up all these types of emotions of somewhat like loneliness, even jealousy, when you see a father that you wish you had, or that you would have had, or maybe that you could be. So all these things take place, and so I'm saying this is for fathers today. We have a responsibility. We have a responsibility for that one side of the coin, to make sure that our children have a sense of security, that we are creating happy times for them, joyous moments, creating great memories for them, providing well for them. And at the same time, as fathers, we have the responsibility on that other side of the coin to protect them from those destructive emotions of sadness, of terrible memories, of jealousy, perhaps, because you're not being the father that we need to be. So when you think of Father's Day, there's a lot of emotions that get stirred up. And we fathers have the responsibility to protect our families, to protect our children. We need to protect them in the ways that I've just mentioned. They need to know that we are there for them, that we are here for them. They need to know that. They have to understand that. They have to know it deep in their hearts. They need to know that you love and care for them. You know, the last time I gave a Father's Day message, I believe it was 2009. And my father had died like a week before, and I gave that message. And many of you know my testimony and what have you. Father got saved about, 8 days before he died. And then he passed. So in putting this message together, again, all those emotions come up. And I have specific or unique emotions that are stirred up, much like everyone in this room. Some are great, some are terrible. And we need to understand how to deal with them, how to prevent them, how to create the great memories. And so today, that's kind of what I want to bring forth. I want to bring forth an understanding that of the importance that we have, the role that we have, the things that we need to provide as men in general, as I'll mention in just a minute. You know, I remember one thing that my father provided, and that was a sense of security in one way, or I should say, a sense of security. When I was in junior high, I was part of that, the busing program. Everybody remember that, the mandatory busing? Well, I was being bused out of East L.A. out to Reseda. And then there was people being brought in from Watts and I think Pacoima, and all types of people. And it created somewhat of a prison yard mentality in that school in Reseda. As funny as that sounds, it was sincerely that way. I remember there was often fights and between races and on and on. And one time I was in a fight because I couldn't keep out of them. And I was suspended. So I was suspended and you know, I didn't start it. And it's a whole long story. Yeah, right. But I didn't start this one because my mom would always say, don't ever start anything. But my father would always say, if someone starts it, you finish it. So it was like, okay, well, hey, guys, I don't want to fight you. But then I fought because my dad gave me the green light. Now, the odd thing is I was suspended, and my dad found out. My dad wasn't living with us. And when he found out, he says, that's ridiculous. And he, when I was my time to return to school, I came back. He came with me. I felt a sense of security, like he had my back. And we sat there with the dean, principal, whatever he was, and they were explaining what happened and what have you. And he said, okay, well, now we're done. You can go back to your class. And my father said something like, well, he's not going back to his class. He's going home. I'm taking him home today. And I felt proud. I felt excited. Like, wow, man, my dad's taking me home. Because you know what? You're not going to have the last word. He is. And there was a sense of security that I had. But it goes far deeper than that. Some of us may only have that. Or maybe have a few of those. And those are what stand out. But I felt taken care of. I felt as though my father had my back. And when we think of this, we have to understand how it is that we're supposed to be as fathers, as men. And if you would, turn to Psalm 146, verse 9. 146, verse 9. And you'll notice I'll have all, if not all, the verses up on the wall, up on the screen. Make it a little easier for you. I counted how many scriptures I had, and there's quite a bit, so they'll be on the wall, make it a little easier for you. But you can turn there if you're quick, and I know Brother Joe has you pretty quick turning the scriptures. But 146:9, let's read that actually. 146:9, the Lord protects strangers. He supports the fatherless and the widow, but he thwarts the way of the wicked. He thwarts the way of the wicked. Now, this message is for all men, married or not. Young men, I'm asking you to pay attention. If you have no children, married or not, I'm asking you to pay attention. And the same if you don't want children, or you're not having children just yet, it's not part of your plan, you need to pay attention. And the reason why I say this is much like the video there, is I can relate to certain things. I mean, even though I'm around, I'm alive, but as my boy and my daughter were growing up and young in this fellowship, just seeing someone speak things into their lives, another adult, a brother, a sister. And when they speak into their lives, whether, hey, I saw this, or hey, you've been playing the piano and they're blessed by whatever it might be, I appreciate that. I love that, in fact. And it's I'm encouraged, I'm blessed. I appreciate it when men of God speak wisdom into my children. And so I'm saying that for all of us, as us men, regardless of your situation, how young you are, the role that you can play in someone's life, even if their father is around, even if he's a great dad or a terrible dad, or whatever it might be, or no dad whatsoever. I'm saying this to us men, is it's our duty to protect all children. The picture we see with God as a father in heaven, we need to model. We need to understand, grasp it, and run with it. Speaking life into young people. He protects the strangers. He supports the fatherless and the widow. You know, when I was coaching youth football, I often always, the deal was to win and to make them tough. And I even joked about it last night with some friends, that to the point of getting them to figuratively tear the other kid's head off. In other words, create that kind of aggression according to the rules on the field. But more importantly, I saw these little guys as young future men. And I wanted to speak life into them, and I felt that was the priority. Yes, you want to win and do all that, but at the same time, being careful how we speak to them. Speaking encouraging words and understanding their failures and helping them through their mistakes and what have you. And I think I say this for all men, young, and ladies to hear this as well, in this sense, is there are single moms. Tough situations where dad might be there but not be there. And they need our help. They need us to speak these words of encouragement and direction for these young boys and young girls. They need it. They may not have it at home. They may have a father at home, and that's about it. There's a man in the house, but there's no father. And so I see this importance today is we don't want to miss it, what we should be doing, how we can do it. And how many, and I'll say this, regardless if the house is in order, that we still have the importance to speak truth to them and encouragement and help the parents alongside the parents and build them up. There's a role for all of us. And we understand that there are oftentimes single moms who need this. They need our help. They need us to speak truth to them. I was growing up, as I mentioned earlier, my father wasn't always in the home, though I wanted him there. It wasn't always there, so there wasn't this situation. But my uncles, my older brothers, my brother-in-law, they were men that spoke things to my life and helped direct me. They helped put things, seeds of understanding, seeds of that became goals in my life that I didn't know at the time, but they took root and they rescued me, if you will. And so we have to understand that importance. And right now, as I'm saying that, receive that challenge. Receive that goal in your own life as a man to reach out, not only to your own children, but those around you. And at the same time, I also want to make this point, is there are fathers that have made mistakes. A lot of mistakes. Maybe a few, but the few that they did were terrible, and they stand out. I've made mistakes. I didn't have a good role model, much like that one dude where they spilled the milk and the father spills it and laughs. Well, that's easier said than done. Get it right? But the reality is we need to forgive. We need to understand that just because a man is a father doesn't make him perfect. Doesn't mean that he's going to make all the right choices and the decisions in the lives of their children. So understanding that, I want to point out as well, if you're in the room or you're listening and you're thinking, wow, I've blown it. I've blown it to the point where I don't think I'll ever recover, or I keep blowing it. Look, it's never too late. But there's two sides where the young person, the children, friends, what have you, need to understand and forgive when someone is changing or has changed, and not to hold certain things against them. That is not what the Bible teaches, after all. So for us men, and I think I speak for all of us fathers, we've made mistakes, and we need to learn from them, but we also want everyone to understand that we are not perfect, far from it. In Psalm 68, verse 5, understanding God as our Father in heaven, it says, a father, 68 verse 5, a father of the fatherless and a judge for the widows is God in his holy habitation. God makes a home for the lonely. He leads out the prisoners into prosperity. Only the rebellious dwell in a parched land. So my thinking when I see this scripture, again, he's a father to the fatherless. If people aren't speaking into your lives, well, hopefully after today they will. But you ultimately have the Father in heaven as your Father. And when I see this, the last part, only the rebellious dwell in a parched land, is our children, our young people around us, within our reach, within our influence, should not be experiencing parched land. Because how terrible it would be is if it's because we have not been building them up, or we have not been fulfilling our fatherly role, and now they are experiencing parched land. That should not be. That should not be the case. Psalm 27, verse 10 says, for my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me up. There are terrible situations. You may have experienced them, or you may know about them, where someone has been forsaken by their mother and father. But this scripture says, but the Lord will take me up. Ultimately, we have the Father in heaven. Men will fail you. Women will fail you. Humans will fail you, but God will not fail. Ultimately, we have our Father in heaven. And that's why I want to bring out the point of, he is our model. He is the one that we want to be like. We can never be exactly like him because we're not perfect. But that's our goal. And you know, in Psalm 27, we see this, David having faith in God, trust in God as his protector. And we too, our children, and when I say children, I don't see it so narrow as a father and his child. I'm talking about you men speaking into the children that you have influence over, whether they have parents or not. In Psalm 46, we see again King David understanding the protection of God, the Father. In Psalm 46, verse 1, it says, God is a refuge and a strength, a very present help in trouble. He goes on to say, therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change and though the mount slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. Regardless, verse 1, David says, God is our refuge and a strength, a very present help in trouble. And the words there, present help, means a proven. It means to be proven to be reliable in the past. And David had experienced this. Our children should know this. We should be reliable because in the past we've proven that we are trustworthy as fathers. And when we follow this model, our children are blessed. They can come to us. They know that you have their back. And really quickly, just to point out in Psalm 144, verse 7, we see David saying something, and there's a song there. It's a soldier's song. And it says in 7, stretch forth your hand from on high. Rescue me, this soldier prays or sings, and deliver me out of great waters, out of the hand of aliens. This, as a soldier, he's praying, Lord, rescue me. And it's a beautiful picture for a soldier, for a person serving this country. But he knows that God will deliver him. In Psalm 18, verse 16, we see it where David says, he sent from on high, he took me, he drew me out of many waters. Here is God the Father, a proven protector. That is our goal. That we, our children, can say, my Father has proven to be trustworthy. I know my Father will protect me. And that, and it goes much deeper than physical protection, as we will get into. I've always told my kids that this, I've always said to John and Lauren, to do right and be honest with me when something goes wrong or there's some accusation or whatever it might be. Be honest with me and I'll go to bat for you every time. And that is what we need our children to understand. That yes, it's a two-way street. Be honest with me. Be responsible. Because in this Psalm 18, I don't know if I have it on the wall here, but David goes on to say things. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from those who hated me, for they were too mighty for me. They confronted me in the day of calamity, but the Lord was my stay. My dad was my stay. Can your children say this about us? They confronted me in the day of my calamity. Dad was my stay. He brought me forth into a broad place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. The Lord was rewarded. The Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanliness of my hands. He has recompensed me. So there's a two-way street, young people, that our fathers should always have our backs, sure. But at the same time, we want to be right with our Father, and we don't make fools out of our parents when they go bat for us or they go bat for you and you're in the wrong. So like God, we need to be, as we sang earlier, a refuge, a stronghold for our children. And what a beautiful picture that God paints. And there's many hundreds of scriptures we can go through in looking at God. But I want to move on. A pastor once said, fathers are the visible link children have to their Father in heaven. And that's powerful, it's profound, and it's true. How we live our lives as fathers, we're representing God. And children, whether they're yours or not, you are the visible link to when you talk about the Father in heaven. That we're not talking about some foreign person, but yet the one they see in their own home, in their lives. We need to model God's fatherhood role to our children. How? How do we do this? Well, we even have a closer example. In John 14, verse 7, we see Jesus Christ saying, 14, verse 7, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and you have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, have I been so long with you that you have not yet to come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? There is our example. We have God the Father in the scriptures. We see it throughout the Bible. as our example. But then we see Jesus in the flesh, God in the flesh, who comes and says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. There is our example. There is our example that we need to follow. When we think of Jesus, we see that he clearly lived a life filled with the Spirit, with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control, gentleness. Is that mine? Is it? Because I thought I silenced mine. It must be. Well, if not, it stopped. Jesus modeled that. When we think of the Lord and we think of the fruit of the Spirit, we see Jesus, the ultimate example. But beyond that, we see humility. We see courage. He was assertive, dependable. He honored his Father. Purity and holiness. There is our example. Jesus Christ is our example. And so when we look at the words of Jesus and how he lived his life, we get an even closer example of the man that we need to be. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, we see this verse. Paul writes from prison, "Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, fathers, which was also in Christ Jesus." There is our example of God the Father. God the Son, walking this earth. We read, we see his words, and we'll look at some more of his words to understand how we can model this. Jesus laid down his life for us. He gave his life. Our children need to know that the men in their family, the fathers are willing to lay down their lives for their children. And automatically, they almost know this. But again, it goes deeper. Jesus said, "No greater love has anyone than this," and he laid down his life for his friend. And that is our goal. But men, it requires sacrifice. Jesus gave his life for us. He died on a cross for people that didn't care for him, spit on him, mocked him, blasphemed him. And us as fathers can't get ever in a position of too prideful because our children are acting a certain way that we give up and we stop. We need to continually reach out and draw them, just like the Father, just like Jesus. So, men, we have to know how to downshift in our lives to this gear called sacrifice. That is a key in raising children, in being that type of father. Fatherhood requires a life change. And oftentimes people try to resist it. And they try and keep the same life they've had before children. And that's destructive. That's not sacrificial. Let's back up from having children, but to single men. Single men, when they want a wife, they think about this, but they don't think about the life change oftentimes. They think about a wife and I want a wife, someone to sit down and have coffee with, someone to go to the movies with, someone to make me a sandwich, someone to sit down and watch the sunset, someone to have sex with, and on the list goes of what they want in their life. As opposed to, or rather than, the young person, the father of a man, of saying, "I want a wife, someone to love as Christ loved the church, someone to serve, someone to help with her sensitive emotions, someone to talk my ears off, or someone to help and just to help her endure that special time of month, or someone that's going to, at the last minute, change my plans and now I can't go out with the fellas." That's sacrifice, and that's when you're looking for a wife that I'm willing to do that. As opposed to, "I didn't think about that part. Tell me more about this special time of the month." We should be sold out and say, I'm ready. My life as a single man, it was a lot of fun, but I'm putting these things on the shelf because I'm ready to be a married man and take this bride on and to serve her and to love her. The same thing goes on. There's a life change there when we get married, and if you don't realize it or if you're not expecting it, you're in trouble. You have to be ready to let go a lot of single type activities. As strange as it is, as a non-believer, when I got married, because of what I saw in my own home between my parents, one thing I had in my heart was I will never divorce my wife. Never divorce my wife. Just because I saw, or I should say experienced, what divorce does to the children. And so there, in that, I had this as an unbeliever going into marriage with that and saying, you know, and when I get married, all my buddies, you know what, they're cool buddies and I'll talk to them when I can, but I'm going to be a married man. As an unbeliever, I had this, and thank you, Lord, for that, because when you don't have that, it brings a lot of problems in a marriage. And you have to be ready to sacrifice and downshift and find that gear of sacrifice. And so it's the same thing with children. There are life changes when we have children, and we need to be ready to make those sacrifices when you're planning a family, when you're thinking ahead and saying, I want to have children. Then you need to understand that I want to serve these little guys and bless them and put a lot of maybe financial things that I want to do in my life aside. A lot of things I used to do with the fellas aside, because my time will be for my children. Children cannot be considered trophies. They have to be understood as they're young little souls, baby souls that need guidance. They need fathers that are strong, that are a refuge, that'll be their stronghold, that'll bring them their protection and encouragement that they'll need all their lives. There's sacrifice that needs to be made. And that's the key for a happy Father's Day. They need our presence in their lives. Life ministry for the single guy is serving God. You have a lot of time for that. And then when you get married, your life ministry is serving God, loving your wife as Christ loved the church. And then when you're married and you have children, your life should be serving God, loving your wife as Christ loved the church, and to train up a child in the way he should go. That becomes our life ministry when we have children, and that requires a lot of sacrifice. Some people have children, they go to great lengths to keep that life as if they don't have any children, and the children will suffer. They do suffer at the expense of not having hands-on parenting. They will suffer. Men of God should be able to adjust to this wonderful and beautiful opportunity to train up children, to sacrifice things, to want to make sure that they are taken care of, they understand who the Lord is, and you protect them. Selfish and prideful men will not sacrifice. They will not adjust their schedules. And it only brings heartbreak when the children grow older to understand how they were forsaken. Children need that protection that only a father can provide. And it goes far beyond simply taking a bullet. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Our duty to protect our children. To protect, to provide. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 3 says, the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. Lots of truth. Lots of beauty in that one verse. And when we look at this verse and we think of us as fathers, how it relates to us. But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. The word protect is a military word, and it means to guard, to defend, to watch over. Fulasso is the word. Fulasso is the word. To guard and defend in a military sense. we guys are should be, as we talked about at the men's retreat, beyond snipers and not missing the mark. Even in this area, we need to be soldiers, men who will stand fast and guard and defend and take that point position for our families. I recall, and I say it goes beyond physical protection. When I was, again, back when it was junior high years, going through all that mandatory busing, you get a terrible mentality of pride and arrogance. And I recall getting in a lot of trouble. And in certain time of my junior high years, I would ditch school with my cousin. And what we would do is we'd walk to school, and then we'd bring whatever money, we'd go bring cans of paint, and we'd jump in a bus and go across town, the other side of town. Get off the bus, and the rest of the day we'd walk through alleys and walk around and spray paint walls and what have you. All the way back to school, and whatever time we got back, then we'd sneak back into school and finish our day. Well, that got me in a lot of trouble because I was crossing out a lot of names on the street that I shouldn't have been. And if you're familiar with what happens to you when you untag someone, it can be very dangerous. What happened, long story short, is my name got around and who I was, and there was a point where there was a local gang, and they were walking, and there was something that was going to take place back at the school. I'm going home with my cousin. And word had got out that I was the guy that was doing this to this one particular individual. This individual was an older, out-of-high-school kid. But they were walking down, and there was 15 to 20 of them. It's probably three, right? 15 to 20 guys. No. Literally, there was 15 to 20, and they're carrying sticks and bats and what have you. And then I hear, as they're walking across the street, I realize that's them. And someone in that group says, that's him. That's Steve. That's the guy. And then they all take a diagonal walk towards me, and I'm like, oh, no. I tell my cousin, go. Just go. The big guy, and at the time, he seemed like a big guy. And he came out, and he came forward, and he said, blah, 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 you're the one. I go, you know what, whatever. And he punched me in the nose. And I remember, and all I could think of my defense was, hey, wait a minute, this ain't fair. Look how big you are, man. You're an old guy. And he says, oh, okay. He says, Wolfie, get him. Now, Wolfie comes out. Wolfie is about this big, but he's about this buff. He comes walking off, takes off his shirt, and he walks up, and I go, oh, no. So we start trading blows. I go down, and they all end up kicking and punching and everything, and I was a mess. Shortly after that, big thing takes place, whatever. My father finds out. And my father, what he did was, after that, for a long time, after school, I had the protection of my dad because he carried a crowbar, and he would park at a distance, and he'd watch me walk home. And he was waiting for these guys to come back so that he could come out and take care of them. And it brought me a lot of physical security. I felt I was proud of my dad. I thought, he's got my back. I remember my cousin thinking, man, your dad's crazy. I said, yeah, he's crazy. But I felt, in the wrong way, prideful. And I waited and wanted that to happen again. But I knew my dad and my back. But it goes far beyond that, guys. It's natural for our children to believe and understand and be convinced that we have their back. And then don't mess with my kids. That mentality. Because I will step in. It's a natural thing that they have. And I had that. Children need to have that confidence, but it has to go far beyond taking a bullet from them. Because you know what? Quite frankly, taking a bullet for them is easy. That's the easy part. And let me qualify that. 1 Timothy 5, verse 8. 1 Timothy 5, verse 8. They need to know that we have them. We need to protect them in this way. But Paul writes, but if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Worse than an unbeliever. For one who does not provide for his own. The word provide is pronoeo, means to think beforehand. There's, like I mentioned, sacrifice, backing up and saying, I want children. You have to understand that there's going to be a sacrifice. And here, the context which I'll mention in a bit. If anyone does not provide for his own, worse than an unbeliever. If he doesn't figure it out beforehand what your children need, if we don't, as parents, as fathers, realize what does my daughter need to be protected far beyond taking a bullet? And I'm talking about spiritual protection. It says there, if anyone does not provide for his own, it seems purposely vague in that context here. We're talking about widows. We're talking about people taking care of our families. And we're talking about families. We should each take care of our parents, our the widows, our wives, our children. So in a general context, we're talking today about men. And as men, as fathers, we need to provide. We need to think beforehand. You see, the unbeliever, he naturally fulfills this. It's a natural thing to provide for your children, to think of what they need. But how much more for us? For those of us who have experienced the love of Christ, how much more should we be meeting this qualification and protecting our children or providing for our children? And there's much to be provided for far beyond taking that bullet. John 10:10. Jesus says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. He goes on and says, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. In 1 Peter 5, there's a real battle out there for our children. And we have to realize it's not going to be someone that's going to beat up your kids. It's going to be something far greater than that, and it's the devil. 1 Peter 5, verse 8, be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. He is seeking someone to devour. Our children need us, men, guys, married, single, whatever. They need us to protect them spiritually by speaking things into their lives. As fathers, providing spiritual guidance for our children, because the devil wants them dead. He wants to rob you from your children. He wants to rob your children from you. And they need our spiritual protection. Physical, yes, of course. But they need that physical. Ecclesiastes 9:18. And I say this because I say, beware, men. Beware and do not get off of that point position as a soldier and think your family's going to be okay. Ecclesiastes 9:18 says, wisdom is much better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroys much good. And you might be doing well. And my prayer is that we are doing well. Again, we fail, we make mistakes, but that we are doing everything we can to spiritually protect our children, because you know what? There are sinners out there that will do whatever they can, purposely or not, to destroy all the good that you've done in their lives. We prayerfully share with our children. We give them wisdom. We teach them life lessons, on and on. We love them. We tell them we're here for them. We got their backs, and on and on. But then you have these sinners that will enter their lives, and they will challenge your wisdom as a father. They will mock the decisions or the rules that you might have in your home. Parental wisdom or parental rules that you might have, or curfew to avoid any kind of appearance of evil, to guard your reputation, whatever these things might be, to be home at a certain time, sinners will come along and they will mock or try and question or ridicule you for the rules that your mom or your dad have. And we need to not be ignorant to that and know that they're out there, especially at their young teenage years, as life is changing for them and things are being they're being challenged with. And I say this to those people that try to interfere with a parent's godly wisdom instruction, beware. And I mean that more, far more than a man sitting in a car with a crowbar. I mean that from God. Because if you mess with his children and you mess with what us as fathers and mothers are doing as glorified babysitters, if you will, you're going to be in a whole lot of trouble. And so shame on those who would dare to try and mock or question the instructions that us parents are giving to their children. Amen? There's a warning in Matthew 18, verse 6, and it says, But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it would be better for him to have a heavy millstone hung around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. We men need to accept that challenge to train up our children, to not be absent, to not be a hands-off father, and at the same time be wise enough to know that there's people out there that are going to try to destroy your children as a tool of the devil. Look at Luke 11. Luke 11, verse 9. Jesus is speaking. And the question we need to ask ourselves is, how much am I willing to sacrifice? It should be everything. The picture of Jesus giving his life physically, spiritually, but for us should be the same. Willing to give our life, of course, but spiritually. In other words, abandoning things for the sake of our training up our children. In Luke 11, verse 9, let me read this. It says, he says, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened." Now, Jesus says, suppose one of you fathers, now imagine one of us fathers, is asked by his son or daughter for a fish. He will not give him a snake instead of a fish, will he? Or if he asks for an egg, he will not give him a scorpion, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? You see, it's a beautiful passage what Jesus is giving us here, and he's showing the glory of God, how beautiful, wonderful, and loving he is, how much he provides the Holy Spirit for empowerment and on, but he gives a very easy practical example and says, hey, how about you dads? Any of you pops? Any of you guys? Kid asks for a fish or an egg or whatever. Are you going to give him a snake or a scorpion? Well, you know what? Some do. Some fathers do. Some fathers will give them a snake or a scorpion. Some will do it purposefully. Some will do it, and many ignorantly. But it takes place. And this passage here makes me think of spiritually speaking, how much are we giving what our children need? We need to know in advance. We need to provide, or we're worse than an unbeliever. We need to provide and beforehand, knowing beforehand what our children need, and then we provide for it. And it goes into how much are we willing to sacrifice. You see, it's a major problem sometimes. It's a major problem when the father is physically present yet spiritually absent. And that's terrible. That is forsaking the role that God has specifically put you as a man in. And again, I say we're not perfect, but to just forsake it altogether, to just be present and figure, I'm the father, I provide financially, I'm there. They have clothes, they have food, but spiritually absent. Imagine it this way, because oftentimes we think of a man, he wants to be king of his castle, right? I'm king of my castle. Well, if you're king of your castle in a godly way, that's cool. Cool, you have your man cave and all that stuff going on. Praise the Lord. And in this king, and I jotted this down as I thought of the picture of a king in his castle, and the rule is intruders will get their heads chopped off with the royal sword. And that should be the rule, if you will. Someone gets into my home, and I will protect my children with the royal sword, physically, spiritually, what have you, as a king of your castle. And then you have children that will look to the king or dad and say, Daddy, can we play catch in the royal courtyard? And the daddy will say, well, Daddy is busieth at the moment. Go playeth with the neighbors. But the neighbors don't know Jesus. And they write on the walls. They talk up a storm about sex. They use profane words. But you turn them over to these people who will destroy anything that you're doing. Or maybe what you're not doing, they'll just add to it. Or you have one who says, Daddy, can I wear this royal gown that shows all of my cleavage? And the father's okayeth. As long as you're not trying to flaunt it in your heart, if they stumble, it's their fault. Be off. Without spiritually guarding your daughter's reputation and giving her some self-respect to understand that you know what you're going to attract that way. Instead, we sit back in our king's castle and allow things to take place and allow the enemy to have his way. Allow the sinners to destroy what God can be doing in their hearts. Or, Daddy, do I have to go to church? Do I have to go to Bible study? Or can I stay home like you? And the father's response would be something like, well, thy king is tiredeth. I worketh much this week. I need to work. Go run along with your mother. I'm getting out of the point position. I'm placing my rifle down and just go with your mom. Tell your mom to pick up the rifle and guard the children. That should not be. Men, we have to do everything we can to surrender our lives to Christ and to hold fast our position, to guard our children, provide for them, knowing beforehand, and not be a spiritually dropped out father, not to be a spiritual weakling of a father, not to say something like to your wife, figuratively speaking, like, honey, take the royal sword. I hear noises outside. Spiritually speaking, we don't say, oh, pray with your mom. Oh, your mom's going to church. Go with her. Oh, it's a good thing my mom sends them to church. She goes with them. Why stay home? We are the example, men. As hard as it may be sometimes because you are genuinely tired, lazy, whatever it is, the game's on, whatever. We can't check out. We are the point person. God has made man, the father, as the point. The platoon is your family. You can't say you're going to Bible study, open the door and let them go. We are the example to stay in that point position and lead our children by example. God forbid that that's taking place in your household. If it is, bring an end to it. Take your proper position, your role as a father. And for those of you that have an opportunity to speak or to play or to act out this role for children who don't have a father present, do so. I've often told people, hey, you know what, if you can make it to Bible study, that'd be great. You know, oh, I got to work early in the morning, whatever. I even tell them, look, man, even if you show up for an hour, get some of the word in, say hi to some brothers, and duck out early if you have to go home and get to bed or go to work or whatever. But plug in. Plug in. It'll set an example for your children. It will make a major difference. I think, you know, if I, myself, personally, if I stopped going to church, well, number one, I'd be fired. But secondly, it would be obvious to all of you, where's Steve? He's whatever. Where's Steve? It's obvious, man, when you're not here at church. We know it. As men, we know when you're not here. We know which guys aren't fulfilling that role. That's hard to say, but it might be hard to hear. But you know what? We need it sometimes. As men, we need to be hit in the head a couple of times, don't we? To grasp it. But I think of it, and I honestly, if I play that through my mind, I think of, I'd be basically announcing to everybody my failure of my role as a father to you. It would be obvious, and I would think of poor Carol, and everyone would think, poor Carol, she has a selfish husband. Or those poor kids, their father is selfish, spiritually selfish, and I say that in love. I don't say this to say, to point out, to in any malicious way. Rather, on the contrary, it's because I care for your children, your marriage, your family unit as well, as you should. More so than I. They're your children. So, Matthew 19, verse 13. Matthew 19, verse 13, we must be sacrificially plugged into our families, to our children. We have a role, a duty. You can't deny it, men. We need to step up. In Matthew 19:13, it says, then some children were brought to him so that he might lay hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, let the children alone. Do not hinder them from coming to me, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. After laying his hands on them, he departed from there. Do not, guys, don't let this passage describe our role as a father when it comes to being like the disciples and keeping them from things that will spiritually grow them, keeping them home from fellowship, keeping them away from something, Bible reading, memories, or what memory reading, whatever it may be. Let it not describe us. We don't want to be the disciples here. We want to be Jesus. You would want to be like, hey, guys, we got to go. Let's go. It's Bible study. We're going to church. Oh, but what about this? We'll be late for... You know what, guys? We're going to go in. We're going. We are going to church. The children need to see that in Dad. They need to see that Jesus is first in Dad's life. Well, but you know what? Dad says we're going. Jesus is the example. Do not hinder them. Honey, we're going to church. Whoever it is, the older sibling, the neighbors, whatever it is. It's like, no, don't hinder my children. We're going to church. Our role is to be like Jesus, just like this, not the disciples. In Proverbs 29:15, we can't be absent, guys. Proverbs 29:15 says, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child who gets his own way brings shame to his mother. And this word, children, is referring to infants in verse in Matthew. In Matthew's thing of Jesus saying, let the children come to me, what have you. Speaking of infants here. And we're looking at this in Proverbs. A child who gets his own way, a child who gets his own way brings shame to his mother. In other words, when we're absent and we're not doing anything to protect, guide, shape, carve, instruct, to give wisdom to our children, we're doing nothing. And they will grow up and fall into this category, and they'll bring shame to you when you have no control over them when they're older. But the picture of Jesus saying, leave these children alone, the infants, the picture is infants, in other words, they're too young to exercise a personal faith. They require us. They depend on us. They depend on us to help structure and mold it, to build it. We need to sacrifice our lives that way for our kids and invest in them. Our children, and not only your biological children need the men, the fathers, the father roles, even in this fellowship. Remember 1 Timothy 5:8, what we mentioned earlier, it said, but if anyone does not provide, he's worse than an unbeliever. Well, here's a quick example that you're very familiar with in Acts 16, verse 1. Speaking of Timothy, it says, Acts 16, verse 1, Paul came also to Derbe and Lystra, and a disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. In 2 Timothy, verse 5, we see some more about Timothy. And it says, for I am mindful, Paul writes, of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am sure it is in you as well. There's a lot of things that could be, we could have a whole message on this one verse. In other words, you mothers, you're not counted out. Because here we see grandma and we see mom who invested and have Timothy with fathers helping out, men helping out with the single moms here. Praise God. But women, you can also raise Timothys and you should be. And women, never be afraid to ask for help and say, I need a godly man example for my son, for my daughter. Because that's what we're here for. Amen. So here we have Timothy, and we learn that his father is much like that 1 Timothy 5:8. Worse than an unbeliever. He's not providing. Where's dad? Where is he? He's out of the picture. Some believe he may have been dead, but he is referred to as a Greek. Not a dead Greek, but a Greek. Out of the picture, and that we don't want to be us. We don't want that to be the commentary of our household. We don't want to say, Carol and her mom did well with Jonathan and Lauren. Their dad checked out. Steve was absent. We don't want that said of us. We see that Timothy made it, but his father was out of the picture, worse than an unbeliever. In 1 Timothy 3:4, and I don't know if I have this one for you, but in 1 Timothy 3:4, it reads this, and Paul writes, the qualifications of an elder, of an overseer. And as he's writing this, all these things, these qualifications, are qualifications for men. Men who have households, single men, it is a qualification of a man. There is something unique in there, and it's the ability to teach for the elder role. Beyond that, everything else is for every man in here. So he writes in 1 Timothy 3:4, he must be one who manages his own household well, keeping his children under control with all dignity. Managers, we need to be great, good managers of our homes, men. The word proistemi is another military word Paul uses here, and it means to take the lead, to be a protector or guardian, to go before and make a stand. A lot of men need to take a stand. They need to go into their God-given position of the point man of their platoon. All the men in this fellowship need to understand you are point men. Whether you have a child or not, you have influence over young people. You've seen it if you've coached. You've seen it if you've got nephews or nieces. You could speak things and they will carry it for years and have an impact in their lives. And that's why I mentioned earlier, I love it even now when I see men of God speaking things to my daughter or to my son, because they're hearing something from a man of God and they're being instructed in something maybe I wouldn't even have thought of. So guys, we need to fall into rank. We need to understand our rank, our position, and we need to not be checked out. We need to not be like Timothy's father, whoever he was. We don't want to say, oh yes, the such and such, such family at Blessed Hope, I'm not sure who their father is. Men, we need to step up. We need the relationship with our children, in some cases, to be restored. And there's a lot of work that needs to be taking place. There's a lot of forgiveness that needs to take place, a lot of repentance that needs to take place. And it needs to begin with everyone, both sides, the father and the children. We need to understand that there oftentimes need to be amends made for this relationship to be restored to whatever degree that is still restorable. In Romans chapter 8, verse 14, there's some beautiful words here. In Romans 8, I have a three more verses I want to share with you. In Romans chapter 8, verse 14, it says, for all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God, for you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. And you, many of you know the sweetness, the term Abba, Father, means. And in Acts, well, the word Abba, it's Aramaic for daddy or papa. There's something sweet and precious of that word. It's not it's not calling him by name or what have you. It's saying Abba, just like a child would call his father daddy. It conveys a sense of intimacy, tenderness, a dependence when they say, daddy, can you do this for me? Daddy, help. Daddy, I'm afraid. Daddy, I need your wisdom. It's a relationship free of fear and anxiety. That's what this word Abba means when we cry out to our Father in heaven. And our children should have that same, we should have that same intimate relationship with our children. And it starts with us. We're the adults. We have to help them to have a sense of security, know that they are loved. What does the scripture say that we love him because he first loved us? They need to know that and see it and grow into that and understand of your love. In Mark 14:35, it reads, And when he went a little beyond them and fell to the ground and began to pray that it were that if it were possible, that hour might pass him by. And he was saying, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I will, but you will. At his heaviest moment, one of his heaviest moments, Christ is calling out to the Father, saying, Abba, Father. When our children are in dire need, when they're in fear, when they feel as though the enemy is overwhelming them, can they come to you, can they come to us and say, Daddy, I need your help. Help me through this. It's been said that anyone can become a father, pretty much, but it takes someone special to become daddy. Daddy is a special earned role. And there are a lot of fathers out there that aren't daddies. One thing I find very sweet is Lauren, she still calls me daddy. Warms my heart, blesses me. John, I remember when he stopped calling me daddy and it went over to dad. I even asked him the other day, do you remember when you used to call me daddy? He says, yeah, yep. But whether, yeah, like yeah, I do. But whether it's dad or pop, father, sir, whatever it may be, we fathers, we need to make sure that we are doing everything we can by the power of the Holy Spirit to remain as daddy in their hearts. Amen? That's what matters. When do they call you? Yes, sir. Pop, old man, whatever. Jonathan calls me old man when we play basketball now. But the key is that we remain daddy. That sir means daddy. Pop means daddy. And that relationship there is there and it exists. Men, that's where we need to be. Amen? That's our goal, to be like Christ, to put our children, to put children before ourselves, to put things off for the sake of our children and training them up properly. And the last verse I want to share is Proverbs 18, verse 10. And it says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runs into it and is safe. The word runs is roots, and it means to swiftly, to dart swiftly. Our children should come to us immediately. I'm going to ask my dad. I got to go to my dad. I need my dad's help. I need his money, whatever it is. But I need dad, daddy. And then they're safe. They run into it, and they're safe. Sagav, the word in the original language is. And it means to be inaccessibly high, too high to be captured. Our children need to feel as though when they're with us, they're put in a place where they're protected, just like it's written in Psalms. So the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runs into it and is safe. He is safe. Or in other words, the name of Daddy is a strong tower. His children run to him and they are safe. Amen? That's our goal. That's our objective in life, men. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we come before you. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for your care, your direction, your spirit, who empowers us to understand your word, to convicts us to want to apply your word. Lord, today, I pray on this Father's Day that every man in here, whatever age, every male in this room would understand that this message is for them. I pray that every woman in this room would understand that it's for them as well. And for any that need help, they would ask. And they would recognize the role of the father. That they would not be trying to crowd out dad from his role as father and trying to be the lead person in the household. Lord, I pray that you would remove that hindrance, that you would remove that conflict in any household that where exists, that man would step up and understand that you've given us a role and that we would do it by the power of your Holy Spirit, not as a bad king who rules with an iron fist, but rather one who is gentle and compassionate like a shepherd. Lord, I pray that you would minister to us today and that fathers everywhere would be blessed. Those that are hurting, those that are separated, those that have been, are dealing with a divide. Lord, I pray that you would bring reconciliation. Lord, for those that are in rebellion and are in pride, I pray, Father, that you would break them and they would ask forgiveness. I pray, Lord, that you would cause reconciliation to take place this Father's Day on everyone's part. Everyone would own their role. Lord, I ask right now that as we pass out communion, that we would continue to reflect on your role, your Son, you, Jesus, who gave your life for us. Lord, help us to know how what you're calling us, what kind of fathers you're calling us to be, what kind of men you're calling us to be. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.